Mark chapter 5. Again, I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank the Lord for this privilege to come together. I know several of us are missing tonight for several different reasons, but I'm glad to see you here. And I thank the Lord for your presence tonight in the house of God. I'm reminded yet again, though, without His presence, all of ours is in vain. And certainly we need His help tonight. And I desire your prayers that the Lord would help us and give us that touch that we need to give you what's on our heart tonight. Mark chapter 5, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture that we'll read into your hearing tonight, a familiar record and account here in the Word of God. But it's been on my heart for the last couple of days. I'm going to try my best to be mindful of the Lord and try to do what's on my heart for the service. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Him, he fell at His feet and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed Him and thronged Him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched His garment. For she said, If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto Him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the Master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And He suffered no man to follow Him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. When He was come in, He saith unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, them that were with Him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in this familiar record in the Word of God. This same account is recorded also in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 8. But Mark seems to have the most details of the conversation and the events that take place here between this man, this ruler of the synagogue by the name of Jairus, who comes to the Lord and searches him out to bring him to his house to touch his daughter. I began to think about this scripture, and the Lord began to deal with my heart about the thought, and I've heard it preached on before, and I don't claim any originality to the title, but nothing really is original. There's no message that's ever been preached that's not been preached at some time in the past. But it just kept rolling over and over and over again in my heart about this man going after the Lord for his daughter. And the Lord began to speak to my heart on, will somebody go get the Lord? Will somebody go get the Lord? Now, I will say tonight that he only goes where he's wanted. We read in the scripture here, in the verses preceding the ones that we read tonight, that well-known story and account in the Word of God where the Lord goes across the Sea of Galilee to the country of the Gadarenes, and there is a man who's possessed by a legion of devils, and the Lord casts them out, puts them into the swine. And the Bible said in verse number 17 of chapter 5 that they, that is the citizens of that country, began to pray him, the Lord, to depart out of their coast. We don't want you here, is what they were saying. And so he left. He never does stay where he's not wanted. But I began to read it in the verse that we read in your hearing, in the first verse that we read tonight in verse 21. The Bible said that he passed over again by ship unto the other side, and much people gathered unto him. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible said that they were there waiting for him. They wanted him. They desired him. And in these days, it's no different in the church. The Lord will go where he's wanted. There are many churches, and I'm just going to bare my heart for a few minutes and then we'll go. But there are many churches in our day that the sad fact and reality is they really don't want the Lord. To have the name church on the side matters not the denomination that's on the side with it, but they assemble together for so-called worship, and they assemble together for the cause of God, so they say, and yet for some reason or another they do not really want the Lord. Whether it be because they have their own agenda, or whether it be because they're seeking people and popularity, or whether or not it's because they're interested in how much money they can put and pad in their pocket, whatever the reason is, they do not want the Lord. And so he doesn't stay where he's not wanted. And God help us in these days not to get our eyes off on all the other things and send the message to our Heavenly Father that we don't have need of him. That was the problem in the Laodicean church, and that's the problem in the Laodicean age today, as they said, we're rich and increased with goods and we have need of nothing. And they meant by that the Lord as well. If we need you, God will call on you. If we need you, we'll come find you. But we're doing okay on our own right now. We're in the shape we're in the church today because of that reason. We're in the shape we're in our nation today because of that reason. Our families are in the shape they're in today because of that reason. Marriages are in the shape they're in today because of that reason. We need the Lord. And somebody that knows him and knows about him and knows what he's capable of doing needs needs to go after Him, and for those that need Him in this day. I don't know where. It's not in the record of the Scripture, not that I could find. I don't know where Jairus heard about the Lord. I don't know what he had heard that he was able to do. But apparently Jairus put enough stake and confidence and trust and faith in the Lord that he is willing to do whatever it took to get him to come to his house. And the Lord began to work in my heart. And I began to question my own self. Would I be willing to do whatever it takes for the Lord to come to my house and the Lord to come to this house and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves? It's not about that we can come tonight and fix the problems and the needs that are represented. Everybody has needs. Everybody has problems, and I can't fix them and you can't fix them, but I know a man who can, and we better be going after him and begging him, beseeching him to come to our house and fix our problems. Jairus comes, the Scripture said, or paints a picture here if we read the verses, that he's pretty determined to get where the Lord is. It doesn't matter to him, and I tried to read and tried to study, and it's not anywhere that I can find. Some theologian probably has their opinion, but as far as I could find within the pages of the Scriptures, I don't know how far Jairus had to travel to get to where the Lord was. I don't know how many hours or days journey, but it did not matter to him the physical effort that had to be put forth. He just knew that he needed the Lord. The Bible said there's a great multitude there, but it didn't matter to him how many people were in the crowd, how many people he had to push through, how many people he had to step over, how many people he had to come by. He just knew he needed the Lord. And we're in the day, we don't need to worry about what all it may take, what all we have to do. We just have to understand we need him above everything else in this day. It didn't matter to him, I thought, and began to read, and there's nothing in the Word of God in there by coincidence or just to take up space. But the Holy Ghost thought it was right and necessary to put in here that he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was part of that crowd that hated Jesus. He was associated with that crowd that didn't want anything to do with him. But yet on this day, his need was so great, he did not care about his position. He didn't care how many of them. He didn't care if he went back where he was and they voted him out. He didn't care about his pride. He didn't care about any of that. All he knew, he had a daughter, his one and only daughter, the Scripture said, that was lying at the house of dying, and he knew he could not fix the problem. But Jesus could. I wonder who it heard about. And I don't know. I'm not trying to put things in the Scripture. But I wonder who it come across. I wonder if maybe it met blind Bartimaeus along the way. And Bartimaeus said, can I tell you? He might have bumped into it and said, Bartimaeus, is that you? And he said, yeah, it's me. He said, the last time I seen you, you're sitting by the highway side blind and begging. Well, what happened to you? And Bartimaeus said, let me tell you, I was sitting there one day just like any other, but there's a noise coming by like I'd never heard before, and I got to inquiring what was going on, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he said, I got to crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to get me to be quiet. They tried to get me to leave him alone. They tried to get me to hush. But he said, I was desperate. And he said, I cried even louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jairus said, well, what happened? And Bartimaeus would say, he stood still and commanded for me to be called and asked me what I wanted. And he said, I wanted my sight. And he gave me my sight. And Jairus said, I need to see him. Oh, where is he at? I'm telling you, we need the Lord in these days we're living in. He is determined to get where he was. You say, preacher, why was Jairus so determined? It's because Jairus realized how desperate he was to get the Lord. And I'm going to tell you why the churches are in the shape we're in this day, is because we don't really realize how desperate we are of his help and his touch. We don't realize how desperate a thing it is for Him to come by and help us. We don't really realize, and I know, I feel like I'm preaching the choir tonight, the Wednesday night crowd, and I don't feel like you, I don't know that you don't understand, but we're in this day and we really, really, really don't realize how desperate we are of His help in this day. See, Bartimaeus or Jairus wasn't playing games. Jairus didn't come to maybe get the Lord. Now, you understand Jairus couldn't make the Lord come. And you and I can't make Him come. The Bible said that he had a position and he had authority. But the Bible said when he got where Jesus was, he fell at his feet and besought him. That word besought means to beg. He begged for him to come home with him. He couldn't make him. He was going to make it very clear that he was desperate and there was no other hope besides the Lord coming home with him. And I'm telling you, we're in the day just like old Jairus. We got people we love that are diseased and that are dying. And if the Lord don't do something, they're going to die. And it's not just a physical death, but it's a spiritual death followed by hell for all eternity. And told me that we're in a desperate need of God in this day. And so he beseeches him, Lord, will you come home with me? And some of the most glorious words in all the scripture is recorded in this chapter. And it says, and Jesus went with him. Oh, can you imagine? I don't know if you can see it like I can see it in my heart tonight. But can you imagine this man who's coming through the crowd? He's not like the woman. I began to think about it today, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with my heart and bring me to the realization he's not like the woman with the issue of blood that can just slip through the crowd unnoticed. But when Jairus walks into the crowd, his reputation precedes him. His clothing identifies him as part of that crowd, and everybody probably recognized who he was. This was not a man of no reputation, but this was a man of high regard. But here he comes, and they're watching to see what he'll do. And he bows before Jesus, and he says, I need you, Lord, to come home with me. My daughter's dying at home. They watch his desperation and his determination. And I don't know what words, it's not in the scripture, what words or what exchange of words go on between the Lord and Jairus at this point, but somehow or another the message comes across and Jairus gets up to his feet and the Lord goes with him. Can you imagine the delight as Jairus went out? He went out a lot different than he come in the crowd that day. He come in not knowing whether there was any help or any hope for him and his daughter. He come in feeling like all the world was falling apart. In one of the other gospels, he said she lied at the point of death. But Matthew's gospel said he said she is now even at the point of death. But Jairus knew that this was the last hope that he had. But when he left, things had picked up. And Jairus was probably delighted that the Lord had heard him and he was going home with him. And here we are in these days, and we pray and beg and plead and ask for the Lord to help us. And sometimes some delight comes. The Word of God, it comes instantly. You see in this scripture, if you read, as we read tonight, the Word, the encouragement, the comfort comes to Jairus instantly. But the Word is yet to be seen. Jesus goes with him. And Jairus is so happy. Jairus is so delighted. Jairus has more hope going out than he did coming in. But as they go toward their house, there's a delay. And a woman with an issue of blood that Jairus doesn't know anything about. But ain't you glad the Lord knows all about it? Before he ever set one foot in Jairus' direction, he knew that there's going to be a woman that would hinder progress. But
said she needed him to. And everything's delayed. Everything stops. Can you imagine what Jairus is thinking? Come on, Lord. There's not any time. Come on. She's almost dead. Come on. We got to hurry. But Jesus stops in the multitude. And he said, "Who touched me?" And his own disciples say, "Lord, how can you ask who touched you? All the multitude is touching you." That's what the word thronging means. It means to lay the hands on, to compass about. They said, "Everybody's touching you." And if his own disciples, they had walked hand in hand, were questioning what the Lord was doing and what the Lord was asking, can you imagine what was going on in the mind of Jairus? Come on, Lord. We got to go. But he said, "I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And the Bible said he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And she came trembling and fell down before him. And the Bible said told him all the truth. I began to think, and just in my way of thinking, I'm pretty simple, you know, but I'm just preaching hats on my heart. I wonder how long Brother Tim it took for her to tell him all the truth. I mean, here she had this infirmity for a long time now, seen every doctor, had been on every prescription, done every treatment plan that any doctor had ever told. And I think she told it all. I think she told about every visit. I think she told about every pill she ever took. I think she told about every treatment plan that didn't work. And how she grew not better but worse. And Jairus is saying, "Come on, Lord. We've got to go. Time's wasted." Do you ever feel like that in your heart? That you need God to do something? And it seems like he's answered. It seems like comfort's come. It seems like it ought to happen right now. But he's delaying. And you're thinking, "Oh Lord, come on Lord, there's not much time. Come on Lord, you need to intervene. Come on Lord, the situation's dire and my need is desperate." I mean, she was near death while he was standing there. Every moment that passed was one step closer to death for Jairus' daughter, and he knew it. And he just waited on the Lord. It's kind of like we preached on Sunday morning. Sometimes we just got to wait on him. The Lord had already made the steps in her direction. He had already told Jairus he was going with him. But now delay had come and Jairus don't understand. But the Lord is still headed in his direction. And as everything settles down and the woman gets out what she needed to tell and everybody's done rejoicing over the woman getting help, and maybe, just maybe, it picks the spirits up of Jairus just a little bit to see firsthand what the Lord could do. And know that it's all over her now. And he's going back to going where it was originally planned to go, to Jairus' house to help his daughter. But as they go, Jesus, this woman gets done with her tale. And Jesus turns to her in the scripture and said, "Daughter, thy faith that made thee whole, go in peace and behold thy plague." And Jairus' spirits are getting lifted. And the Bible said, while he spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, "Why troublest thou the master any further? Thy daughter is dead." Now I said at the beginning, I don't know. It might have just been an hour or two journey. It might have been a day or two's journey. But if it was a day or two's journey, then by the time he got to him, she had already been dead a day or two. And by the time they got back to his house, she should have been dead a day or two more. I don't know how long it was, but I know it's long enough that when Jesus said she's not dead, she's just sleeping, they all laughed him to scorn. And he had to put them all out. And now, Jairus, that was delighted. And Jairus, that's delayed. It's now Jairus, that's discouraged. Because it looks like it's all over. And Jairus is going through this roller coaster. If you don't hear anything else I've said tonight, I want you to hear this. Because this is what the Lord really spoke to my heart today. Jairus is on this roller coaster of emotions. Things are good and things are bad. And things are in the middle and things are bad. And things are good and things are bad. But all the while, Jairus is delighted one minute and discouraged the next and delayed in the middle. And everything just up and down, up and down. And Jesus never bats an eye. Jesus never gets off course. He's a constant the whole time. His mind's already made up. He told Jairus he was going, and he's going, regardless of what happens between then and there.
Sometimes in our life, the things of God, the promises of God, the help of God, in those delayed times, we get so delighted by His comfort. And He comforts Jairus again. And He says, don't be afraid, only believe. And that word again is instant. It comforts. But the work is not yet done in Jairus' life. Yeah. But it's as good as done, because the Lord is on His way. And I'm telling you tonight, I don't know who you are. May I believe with all my heart, these folks in this building tonight, multiple folks, that you've been praying for something and it's been a roller coaster ride, whether it's praying for a child or praying for a sibling or praying for a parent or praying just for somebody you love or praying for a situation or seeking the direction of God, and it's been a roller coaster. Things look good one minute and look like God's moving, and then all of a sudden it's like everything stands still in heaven and there's a delay and you don't understand why, and then discouragement comes, then the Word of God comes and picks you up, and then you're on the bottom again. I'm telling you tonight, just hang on. The work's as good as done. If the Lord's on His way, it will take place for you.
Amen.
And this man who's so discouraged, I just in my heart, I just kind of feel like it's a pretty good journey still yet to Jairus' house. And all the way there's a war going on inside Jairus. One time, his spirit says, "The Lord's with you." And he said it was going to be okay. Don't be afraid. Just believe. But then the next moment, his flesh said, the messenger said, that my daughter's dead and there's no hope. And I don't know why we're doing what we're doing. It can't happen now. It's all over for me. And the next minute, his spirit, right? You ever felt that way? One minute it's okay. The next minute it's falling apart. And around and around and around we go. But I'm glad when the Lord stepped in the house, deliverance came. And the work was done. So don't give up. If you go after it and get a hold of Him, trust Him, and that He can come through with what you need Him to do. He walks in the house, and the Bible said, he said, "She's not. Why make it this ado and weep? What's all this noise? She's not dead. She's just sleeping." And they all laughed Him to scorn. And the Bible said, now we read about our Lord, and He was a meek and lowly man. But He showed His position and His authority on this day. And the Bible said He put them all out, and He suffered no man to go with Him, save Peter, James, and John, and the mother and the father of the damsel. And He walked over to where she was. And in that easy thing, seeing Jairus' mind, it was a difficult thing. It was a hopeless thing. But aren't you glad for God? If it's impossible in man, it's still possible in God. And in Jairus' mind, he probably thought everything's going to have to happen and it's going to take forever. But Jesus, and I don't mean this irreverently, I mean it with all my heart, but Jesus, in His simple God-like authority, walked over to where she was, took her by the hand and said, "Maid, arise," and she got up. You say, you really think they thought all these other things are going to happen? Well, the Bible said it happened just like that, and they were all astonished with a great astonishment. In other words, Jairus, in his mind, is saying, "I traveled all them miles, pushed through all them people, and faced all this discouragement, and went through all this heartache, thinking it'd take forever, and it's already done." But I'll tell you, on the day and the moment that his daughter sat up in the bed, he didn't worry about his position. He didn't worry about what he had to do. He didn't worry about how many miles he had to travel. He was just glad the Lord did what He needed Him to do. And I'm telling you, in this day, you may be at the point in your life seeking after God, and you're traveling them long, weary, lonely miles. And in your mind, you're thinking, "Lord, how much longer am I going to have to go?" If it was a long journey for Jairus, I'm sure there were times that he thought, "Am I ever going to get there?
Am I ever going to get where he's at? And when he got there and the crowd was there, he thought, am I ever going to get full of all? Am I ever going to get within shouting distance? Am I ever going to get to tell him what I need? And you and I sometimes are the same. But I'm glad when we need him and when we want him, he makes himself available and easy to find.
The writer of the song said that my father has a great big family. Somebody, I don't know how all the words go exactly, but I know one part of the chorus said, you asked me how he divides his time. And they said, I'll tell you, I never have to stand in line. But he loves me like I was his only child. And there's some days when the journey's long that you feel like he loves everybody else more than he loves you. And there are days when it seems like the multitude's around him and you can't get through and the heavens are made of glass and you need help from God, but it's just beyond reach. And you feel like he loves everybody else more than he loves you. But when you break through, when he gets where you are, you realize he loves you like there's nobody else but you. And somebody needs to go get the Lord. Oh, we're in these last days and there's so much trouble on every hand. Everywhere I go, whether it be coming into this place where God so graciously let me be a partner pastor and I thank him for it, or whether it be preaching in other places or just attending in other meetings, and I hear of the people of God, and I hear how broken they are, and I hear how much of their hope seems like Paul in the storm to have been taken away. And I hear of all the needs and the troubles. And I hear of mamas crying for their babies. And I hear of daddies crying for their children. And I hear of grandparents crying for their grandchildren. And husbands for their wives and wives for their husbands. And it seems like it's never going to happen. And it seems like they're never going to get where he's at. Something in me wants to tell them, just hang on. Just go a little further, seeking a little more. Go get the Lord. You'll find it. He can help you.
Amen, brother.
And I'm telling you tonight, as we stand all over the house, I'm done. I don't know what you need to do, but I know that in my heart I've been told from yonder's world to tell you to go get the Lord. You may feel like you're already on the way, but the